Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, Butch Patrick here, Eddie Munster. You're listening to the Neverland Podcast.
Up to Neverland.
Take a star to the right and stay until morning. Neverland.
Good morning, Neverland!
Hello and welcome to episode 96 of the Neverland Podcast. Make sure you take that pixie out of your pocket, sprinkle some of that pixie dust around, and have your happiest thought. We are going to have some beginning of October fun, although we're not really a haunted Neverland at this point. We've just got so much other things to cover, but we've got some fall TV, superhero TV premieres, and we've got some theme park news, some kind of really big news that so far, from what I've seen, a lot of people are not very happy about. We are also going to start, during October, I'm going to have an iTunes review drive. What I want you to do is write us a review on iTunes. Make sure you copy and paste that in an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com, and there will be some prizes for at least three of you, unless Jesse wants to add something, there could be four, for giving us an iTunes review. But let's get started.
This is Gary Gnu, and the No Gnu's is Good Gnu's Show, the only TV Gnu's program guaranteed to contain no Gnu's whatsoever.
Neverland News from the Disney Parks.
Okay, I'm going to just read this exactly the way Theme Park Insider has phrased this out. But the Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resorts have both raised their prices for their annual passes, and they just did this overnight. I'm recording here on Sunday, and I found out about this by looking at Facebook through some various other Disney fans, and people are really kind of upset about these price increases, and there's a lot of people saying that they're just not going to renew. Now, here's where I'm going to read directly from what Theme Park Insider says. It says, at Walt Disney World, Disney is introducing Gold, Platinum, and Platinum Plus passes, replacing the old Florida Seasonal Pass, Annual Pass, and Premium Annual Pass. The Gold Pass will sell for $549 and includes admission to all Walt Disney World parks with 43 blockout dates. The Platinum Pass sells for $749 and is good every day of the year and now throws in Photo Pass downloads. The Platinum Plus Pass also adds the Water Parks and ESPN Wide World of Sports admissions and Oak Trail Gold Course green fees. Discounts for renewals and for Florida residents remain available. Previously, Florida resident seasonal annual passes sold for $329, and annual passes roughly the equivalent of the new Platinum Pass sold for $654. So it was roughly a $100 to $200 price increase. I've been seeing on Facebook some people feel like they've got a $300 increase on theirs. But here's also what Theme Park Insider has to say about the other side of the world. At Disneyland, it says the Disney will no longer sell premium annual passes. It's funny that they accidentally have a "but Disney." But Disney will no longer sell premium annual passes while adding Signature and Signature Plus levels. The Southern California Select Pass increases from $299 to $329. The Deluxe Pass increase from $549 from $599. Well, they didn't word that very well either. But the new Signature AP is reported to cost $849, an increase from the $779 for the old Premium Pass. However, the Signature Pass will be blocked out for 2 weeks over the Christmas holidays. The Signature Plus Pass will have no blockout dates and cost a reported $1,049. And the two Disneyland Signature Passes will also now include PhotoPass downloads. The two Resort Premier Pass, which includes both Walt Disney World and Disneyland, now sells for $1,439 plus tax, an increase from $1,000.99. So that's at least the $300 increase, I guess, right there. That probably some people are talking about, because that's a little more than $300. I mean, this is a really big increase, I think. But I'm figuring this is probably paying for the new Star Wars land, the new Toy Story land. So I guess you're putting more money into the parks for more things, and you're going to get a lot of things that you want. But I have a feeling they might be hitting a tipping point where some people just really can't afford that because they have a lot of non-California, non-Florida residents, but they just like to frequently visit the parks, and they'll buy these annual passes, and they'll just repeatedly use it and feel like they were getting their money's worth. They might not feel like they're getting their money's worth now unless they're living near one of the parks. So I'm sure people who live near the parks that could go every day if they wanted to, they probably will say, "Oh, well, that's okay. I'm getting my money's worth. If I can visit at least 20 times a year, So, yeah, it might hurt their sales. Now, I know the increase in ticket sales has not really been that popular for some of us that really have a hard time affording it, and it is becoming to, I think, a lot of us here in Middle America, that trip to a Disney park might be that once-in-a-lifetime event. I don't know. I mean, they're paying for all these new things, so we'll just see how this works out. Okay, as another quick announcement, this is not theme park news, but I mentioned previously that Behind the Magic, another Disney podcast, was having a tournament of Disney podcasts, and round two has begun. They have told us that this category now is creativity. So they wanted me to create about approximately a two-minute segment, as well as a two-minute sort of elevator pitch on why the judges should choose my two-minute segment to be the winner of this round. They didn't say I couldn't share it with you guys, but I do want you to go Behind the Magic. I think that if you search for BTM or Behind the Magic, you should be able to find them on iTunes and everything. And go check out the podcast. They seem to do a little bit more of a daily. They have short shows and everything. They get kind of behind the scenes on a lot of things around Disney parks. So very fun little show. But I wanted to go ahead and preview what I have submitted for the creativity right here, because I think it's really kind of fun and cute, and I thought you would enjoy it. And it's the only way Heather gets to be a part of the show this week. So here it is. Well, hey there, Behind the Magic fans. We're Jeremy the Spider-Pan.
And Heather the Windy Nerd from the Neverland Podcast. I'd like to talk to you a bit about what it's like when you like Disney, but you find yourself living with a fanatic. I have to admit, I knew Jeremy had a few interesting quirks before I married him.
Look, honey, I made my 12-inch Spider-Man figure look like he's web-swinging across the room by nailing strings to the wall.
I'm sitting right now in a room filled with toys that he calls an office.
Studio. I record a podcast in here.
Yes, dear. But I had no idea what would happen when an old friend of his invited him to Walt Disney World.
Woohoo! I'm no longer a Disney park virgin!
But when he got back, he was different.
Well, look at this, honey. It's a Haunted Mansion life game. We have to play this every Halloween. Oh, look, honey. I got you a Beaker keychain.
Well, hey, why aren't you using it?
So now the toys.
Display items.
Whatever, dear. They're spreading all over our home. It's not just in this studio. It's in the living room. It's in the bedroom.
Hey, look what I got. It's a plush Mickey Mouse. Isn't he adorable?
And now Mickey watches over us when we sleep. And soon he made friends.
I can't leave him without his best pals, Donald and Goofy. Oh, look, honey, it's Mickey dressed like Spider-Man.
Oh, yes, and how could I forget the days when his obsessions were suddenly combined? Always the Spider-Man and Star Wars fan, now Disney has brought them all together.
Oh, look at these figures! They're Disney characters dressed as Star Wars characters! I've got to hang them all on the wall!
There are some benefits, though. I love anime, and Disney has released the Studio Ghibli movies over here in the United States.
Happy birthday! Merry Christmas! Guess what I got for you?
Now I can watch Spirited Away anytime I want.
What you watching?
Oh, Spirited Away.
What you watching?
Howl's Moving Castle.
What you watching?
Spirited Away.
What you watching?
Castle in the Sky.
What you watching?
Spirited Away. Well, okay, so I have my fandom too. I guess that's what makes us a good pair.
And that's why you're my new co-host on the Neverland Podcast.
On iTunes and Stitcher.
And NeverlandPodcast.com.
Thanks so much for listening.
And keep a pixie in your pocket.
Time out! The Great Space Coaster will return after these messages.
The kids of the 70s and 80s are all grown up, but the good times of childhood don't have to end.
Our generation can share the fun and fandom of our youth with the next generation and bring the past into the future.
And wrap it all up to make a fantastic present.
Join Jedi Schwa and Shaz Bazaar every Monday morning to get your work week started by reminiscing about the past and exploring the future with your earbuds on Techno Retro Dads.
So find us on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, or on TechnoRetroDads.com, part of the Shot Glass Digital Network.
I'm in! Now back to the program!
Okay, Neverlanders, it's time to get our geek on. Big time. There is a lot of fall TV that we have to be prepared for. And some of it is new, but a lot of it is some returning favorites that over the last year, I got pretty excited about. You know, these shows have been going in great directions. But in order to talk about these shows, I needed to bring in some experts, because I tend to forget sometimes what happened in the previous season, and sometimes it's fun to talk about with other people about what you might see coming in the next season. So we're here with Jedi Schwa, also known as Josh on some of his other shows, from Techno Retro Dads and Scarlet Velocity and Green Justice and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and also his partner, Jay Shepard, which I don't think you have a cool nickname, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I totally do.
Oh, it's way better than mine.
Jovial Jay!
Jovial Jay! Well, hey, that's a good... It's good to be jovial in Neverland. It helps you fly.
Yeah.
So that does work. But my goodness, fall TV has just got so much stuff in the far... in the genre of superhero TV. We'll just kind of keep it there, of course. But we'll start. Okay, like I mentioned, you guys have a show that's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I figure that's on iTunes.
It is.
Yes.
And any other good locations for it, a website or anything?
Randomchatter.com is the home for all the superhero podcasts that we do together. And shortly, you'll also be able to find them on forcecast.net in the Outer Rim channel over there.
Awesome. You're spreading out. So let's talk a little bit about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, at the time of this recording, the premiere of the third season was actually just last night. And I just watched it this afternoon. I tell you what, I am blown away. I think this might be one of their best seasons yet.
I'm really excited about this season because, Jay and I have kind of talked a little bit about this on our show that's coming up. There is so many different ways that they could go this season, and I think they have a lot more options for cool storylines. So the premiere just it blew me away, and they're already kind of hitting the ground running right away with new kinds of superpowers and lots of dangers that they're going to have to take care of.
As I was talking with my comic shop owner today, he was checking with me. He's like, did they do a previously on S.H.I.E.L.D. at the beginning of this episode? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, because I could not remember for the life of me what happened last season. And so he had to go to Netflix and review it. There was so much going on. And I was very excited by the premiere, but I was also kind of disappointed because I didn't get to some of the storylines that I really wanted to find out more about in this first episode, especially with stuff with Agent Ward. I wanted to see what was going on with him, but I think they took care of the most important stuff, and where they're going based on what we've seen from this episode and what they've talked about, and you know, with the Secret Warriors and all that kind of stuff that's coming up. This is a real strong season, it looks like, so far.
Yeah, I think that's partially why a lot of people struggled with the first season, is it had some powers kind of the first episode, but then it's functioned a little bit more with the being agents and, you know, like we're a secret but not quite government agency kind of thing, and they were behaving like agents, and I think some people just weren't able to follow with that. So I think coming out this strong with this much with powers, I think is going to attract the people who just love superpowered stuff. And when you come out flying with a guy who's melting metal, and then now, you know, Daisy, formerly Sky, has got full control over her powers, and I forget what her actual name is in the comics, Quake. Or a superhero name.
Quake.
Quake, yes. I keep wanting to call her Vibe, but that's a completely different thing.
Yep.
Which hopefully we'll be able to talk about Vibe maybe sometime this season as well on a different show.
Sounds like
we'll
it.
See.
Yeah. So now, like now if you don't already know this, they're taking a lot of the storyline ideas from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This season from a comic book storyline called Secret Warriors. And that was a very... oh, I don't know, Jay, would you say it was kind of an iconic storyline that went on for a little while a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it was its own series, but it definitely continued the S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline after the was it a Secret Invasion crossover event. It kind of picked up some of the threads from that and the dissolution of S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess.
Yeah, and so a lot of the stories that they're going to have this season were at least inspired by some of the events in that comic book storyline. So people are pretty excited about that because it was a well-loved comic.
Also, I'm seeing, because I haven't really kept up with the Inhumans. I've kind of started narrowing down where I was just reading Spider-Man, but now not even that because they've messed with that so much. Yeah. But that's a whole other issue. Yeah. But I had to go and actually look up Lash to see who he was after he made this appearance in there, because, oh my gosh, I thought from the silhouette that they teased a little bit that it was Reyna coming back. Mm-hmm. So I thought, wait a minute, isn't she dead? But then it turns out somebody else who has a very kind of porcupine sort of look, and it's this guy Lash, who they kept pretty secret of what he's up to, but if you go and look at it, I guess it's like, I had to look around, it's like Inhumans 1 and 2,
yeah.
You'll see some of his first appearances, and you'll find out a reason why some of the Inhumans are disappearing, and some of them are found dead. There's probably more that are disappearing that are not dead that maybe we'll see later, but I don't want to spoil anything of what I've learned, but it looks like they're focusing on his storyline a little bit as well.
Right, and interestingly enough, with the fish oil premise that they have, where there's part of this Terrigen mist crystal stuff that got into the fish and was ground up into the fish oil, which is what caused Joey Gutierrez or whoever it was at the beginning of the show to develop his superpowers. Lash actually developed his superpowers. He was just a small little character named Sonic that ingested some fish oil and then, you know, grew up to this big bad guy.
Big scary bad guy.
Looking for rings.
He is looking for rings.
No, my gosh, yes, because he does kind of look like Sonic the Hedgehog. Now I've got that in my head. It's all ruined for me now.
She's gonna Daisy's gonna hit him with big, you know, quake powers, and they're all gonna fly out of him. It's
just, yeah, all the rings will ching. And then some weird little fox and human with two tails will come flying. Okay.
See, they got lots of possible stories there.
Yeah, there's much they can do with that.
So. Oh my goodness! Now, then Hyder will come out with this doctor guy who's trapping small animals and turning them into robots. And
now, you know, we still the premiere didn't tell us anything. Like you said, Jay, nothing about Ward. We also don't know where May is at these days. So I'm anxious to see Agent May, and I know that that's been teased a little bit on Twitter, or at least they are teasing us. I don't know how much information we've got, but she definitely will be back soon, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess she's off rekindling with her ex-husband. Because all that was said was Coulson mentions that she's been on a vacation, and he feels like he's missing his right arm as well as his left.
Yes. Yeah, very cool.
Which, how cool is this robotic arm Coulson has?
I fooled the bad guys, that was for sure. I thought that was great that when they were handcuffing him, I'm like, he's going to get out of that pretty easily, I think.
The same thing.
Like, yeah, I just love the way he to make sure everybody had noticed, because I wasn't thinking about his arm getting chopped off until he's talking to Hunter and says, "Well, I wouldn't want to do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable." And he just twists and pulls the arm off and sets it down. Yeah. I was like, "That's a perfect way to remind us." Oh yeah, he had to have his arm chopped off. And then later, I love in the research lab that you see his arm is there under glass being studied in the research lab.
Yeah. They did it really.
Right, that's just awesome.
They did a good job of that, and I was concerned about how they were going to pull that off. And you know, he just wears long sleeves and a glove, and it's so Clark Gregg can walk around and do the majority of his work. And it was only kind of in the one scene at the end of the episode where he had, probably had to wear like a blue sock on his hand so they could digitally edit it out and stuff like that. But well done. I want to see more. He said it was his, third or fourth hand that he'd gone through. So I feel like maybe we're going to see upgrades throughout the season, which would be kind of cool. Maybe get one with a claw and a, fish hook or something. I don't know.
Some advanced technological weapons, maybe borrowed a little bit from a little bit of alien technology.
Yeah, a little Deathlok action there.
Yeah.
Well, they took Skye and turned her into a character that already is established in the Marvel universe, in Daisy Johnson. And maybe they're taking Coulson and they're establishing him as like Inspector Gadget or something.
go, Shield Claw.
Sorry about that, Chief.
That would be funny if Nick Fury actually comes back and comes out of hiding and everything. And then he gives him this message will self-destruct in 2 seconds. Oh. Yeah, darn it, I just killed Nick Fury again.
Be communicating with it. I am very excited. I think I'm even more excited this season for S.H.I.E.L.D. than I was last season. And I thought they did a pretty good job, at least after they really started getting going. The second half of the season started getting really exciting. So
yeah, the lead-in from season one was a pickup at the end of season one. And so I think season two started off pretty well, but then it had a little falter in the first half, but second half of last year was great, and this just picked up and just kept running with the ball. So I'm hoping they can kind of elevate everything and get more people watching. I think a lot of people are I have some friends I know that started watching and they did like the first year just because they felt they wanted to commit to that, but then they were like, nah, this is kind of lame. And I'm like, it's really gotten to a great spot, and that's what we try to tell people about on our show, just to, keep people interested in it. And it's not like we're 100% sold on it all the time. There's a lot of time where I'm just complaining about this show specifically. There were a lot of faults with it, but they're trying to do the right thing, I think, and have really, I think, found their niche now.
Yeah, and especially expanding into other planets with Simmons being somewhere on some planet, who knows where, that's so much potential for her to maybe have an encounter with, we've already seen the Kree introduced in the cinematic universe, but I'd love to see some Skrulls.
Yeah,
although
nice.
I've heard rumor that Fox maybe is still trying to claim on them because of Fantastic Four, but they've never used a Skrull. Right. So I'm thinking, forget you guys, let's have some Skrulls.
Yeah, supposedly the Chitauri are the closest thing they could have done to that, since they are supposedly shapeshifters as well. I wouldn't mind for them to, drop in a little Guardians of the Galaxy reference. Before too long, but yeah, introducing any of the other number of alien races. There's a bajillion out there that they could do. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens in the next week or two as they start to resolve that storyline.
Yeah, and it'd be a stretch, but I'd love to see Darkhawk, if anybody remembers Darkhawk.
One of the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Was he?
I believe so.
Well, not from the old school, but I'm talking, unless they've retconned it, but Darkhawk, they had it. It was a newer series in the 90s, and they've expanded it to be in this galactic type of group that was all these different people with these Hawk armor kind of things. But in the 90s is when they first introduced the character, and that he was actually part of, I believe, the New Warriors for a while. It's been a long time. I've got most of the series, so it's kind of little known. They a few years ago, they did bring the concept of Darkhawks back for some sort of event, but they didn't really focus on Chris Powell, who was the main character of the original books. But
I'm thinking of Starhawk.
Ah,
Darkhawk, Starhawk.
But yeah, if you're not familiar with Dark Hawk, go look it up. It's probably very hard to find any of the comics because the series doesn't run anymore and hasn't run for about 10 years or more now. But I'd love to see, you know, just because it was a very cool character that just it kind of faded to obscurity. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been a great way for obscure characters to get a little bit of limelight and mm-hmm. then grow and expand and suddenly become popular.
Very definitely. Cool.
And especially, I like how they've used the Inhumans because they were, you know, I only knew a little bit about the Inhumans because they're kind of more like the Fantastic Four's world, and I'm always more of a Spider-Man guy. But it's great how they can use them in place of not being able to use mutants or even utter the word mutant, thanks to Fox.
Yeah, they've gotten really clever about that, and the fact that they're setting this up in advance of a movie that's not due out for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, I believe 2016 was for the Inhumans, wasn't it?
No, it's going to be 20. It's 2018. If
2018
at the earliest, 2016 is going to be Captain America, Civil War, and Doctor Strange.
Oh yes.
So it's November of 2018 is what it looks like. So, you know, it's still right now. It's 3 years away, and if they're using Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to introduce these characters, they can also probably use Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to introduce them a little bit further, and just mm-hmm. think in 3 years, like, how much they're going to grow and how familiar they're going to be to everybody. So that's pretty exciting, because these are relatively obscure characters. I don't think a lot of people outside of comics know about these characters. They're the main Inhumans, at least.
And it's nice that we have this TV show that can pull these minor characters, and then they can be kind of used. I would like to see them do much, much more in the movies that's connected to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because I think there's a lot of potential there. So we'll see how far that goes. And you know, even to some extent, Agent Carter, when that ends up coming back later on this season, and you know, they even used her in Ant-Man at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I was nice. I like that they're still making these connections. I think it's good.
And, of course, somewhere before the end of this season, I fully expect to have some sort of connection to the Civil War.
That is a hypothesis of ours as well, as they seem to be linking stuff. And there was definitely a lot more links last night back to Ant-Man and to Avengers Age of Ultron. So we're looking forward to that, you know, come, what would that be, end of April, early May, as they come down to the last few episodes.
So very exciting to see what happens. Okay, but as we have beat that subject pretty well to death, I guess do we have any other predictions on something you think might be in the works before we let it go? Because we know definitely it's going to be something to Civil War, because they've been very good every season pretty much of linking it right straight into something. Anything else you're expecting?
Josh and I talked a little bit about this. We think that they might do a little more linking between Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Leviathan group. Is that the group the Russian mm-hmm. group that was fighting against Carter in the first episode?
And created Black Widow.
Right. And now that Ward's rebuilding Hydra, he's mm-hmm. obviously looking around to hook up with other groups. So there still may be some splinter Hydra groups out there, but Leviathan may be a group that's coming back, because they also feature in the Secret Warriors storyline that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. appears to be drawing from. So I think there's a lot of
And Ward is going to need to start getting some allies, so he has some people to play around with and give him a hard time.
Oh, yeah. Which I think he's going to be quite involved here pretty soon, because I was trying to remember when it was mentioned that, you know, as Hunter was very upset about the injury to Bobby's knee, or I like to just call her Mockingbird, even though they've never named her that, because I'm thinking, didn't Ward have something to do with her knee?
Well, yeah, he beat her up and
yeah. I was trying to remember, it's like, did he shoot her or did he just beat the daylights out of her?
No, he kind of gave her a snap to the, like, he, you know, she was down on the ground and he stepped on her leg in the fight that they had,
yes.
You know, in addition to her fingernails and tying her up and beating her up and
yeah,
her
now I remember. Up in front of the gun, and that gun took out part of her lung.
So
I think it was.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm glad you guys remembered that, because I had forgotten all about that.
Yeah, that one was burned into my brain, unfortunately. But
yeah, that was a pretty good episode. I was kind of on the edge. I was like, she's kind of a mainstream Marvel character. You can't really just kill her. So I was wondering how that was going to end up, and that was very, very cool.
And she may be getting her own spinoff. They had, it's kind of on again, off again, but they have said that they've ordered a pilot for a Mockingbird Hunter spinoff show called Marvel's Most Wanted. So we're speculating.
So it's back again.
Yeah, so it's back again, and it may be a summer, maybe a summer series that we're getting. At this point, it's unknown what's going to happen with that. But I like the those two characters together. They their banter is very amusing, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with them further on this season and potentially in a spinoff.
And potentially spinning off the Secret Warriors as well. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about that potentially becoming yet another series. That would be very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but moving on to the next premiere. So next Tuesday, October the 6th, this is what got me starting watching the Greg Berlanti-produced DC Comics television shows was The Flash. Absolutely love that first season. It just killed it right out of the gate.
Yeah, well, we were so excited just when we heard about the series. Both Jay and I, we like a lot of the DC heroes, and Flash has always been one of my favorite. So we weren't really sure if we wanted to do another podcast on it, but the more we started hearing about the series and seeing what it was going to look like, and then watching the, I guess they'd still call it the pilot, right, when he was made a guest appearance on Arrow.
Yeah.
We were just too excited to not talk about it regularly.
Yeah, we couldn't not do it.
Yeah. So yeah, I was very pleased with the first season. You know, as we talk on our shows about all these TV series, we're pretty open and honest. And if something comes up that was a little disappointing to us, we will mention it on our shows. And honestly, there wasn't a whole lot during the first season of Flash that we had to criticize much. I mean, I thought they did a really good job using this character in this kind of new TV universe that they've developed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did hear on some other shows that you know, they would try to nitpick some things just to try to find something bad to say, but it would be little tiny things like, it's not really that big a deal, and it won't ruin your enjoyment of the episode. But if you really wanted to dig in, this would be a problem here, but it's not really that big a problem. But yeah, I really couldn't complain, because it really did. It pulled me in from the first episode, and I was... We'll get into talking about Arrow later. Arrow, the first episode of that, it kind of was like, eh, you know, so I really kind of stepped away from it. But it was when Stephen Amell made his guest appearance as Arrow there in The Flash, and I saw how that character had developed, that I started getting interested in going back to watch Arrow. And so it's all The Flash, I think, to me at least, helped bring this all together to get me interested.
Yeah, I like I said, and I think that's pretty common, actually. Among a lot of fans that started watching Flash, because it became a pretty big property really quickly. And I think it not only caused people to start watching, but I think it made the producers and executives over there at CW let them take it in any even more directions. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that we're going to be getting the Legends of Tomorrow series later on, too. So, yeah. And even to a point, I would probably say Supergirl over on CBS.
Excited about that one, too.
Yeah, you could say the Flash got up to speed real quickly. I mean, you could say that.
You could say that. And we say things like that often, I think, because...
Yes. Yeah, I think what sets Flash apart... And I think it helped it to accelerate and kind of change the game is it had that level of levity and that bit of comic book fun without being so dark. Because I kind of feel like people are getting a little tired of things being so gritty and so dark all the time. And, you know, going back and watching the first two and, well, three kind of was still this way. But it's dark and gritty and there's that realism, and that's fine for a while. But after a while, you do want some fun, which I think is why they've made a decision with Arrow they've said this season's going to be a little bit lighter. And I think it's because they learned something from The Flash. Like, you know, it's okay to have a little levity or have a character like Cisco who's naming all the characters. You know, and every bad guy has to have a name, you know. So having that level of fun, and I think that's why everybody liked Felicity when she was first brought in, is because she was sort of the fun character, because she would slip up and say something she didn't mean and have to try to make it sound better and stuff like that. That's why we loved Felicity. And as she went on in Arrow, I'm talking about the completely different series, trying to talk about The Flash. But as Felicity kind of developed, she got more in line with being the super serious, dark, gritty type of thing. And I really lost interest in Felicity. She was not near as much fun, except for her appearance on The Flash. Because yeah, they were like, oh, look, we can be light and levity with her again.
Yeah, she was great on The Flash. And her chemistry with Barry on the some of the extras on the Blu-ray set, there's the original screen test, which is her and Barry, because of she spent so much time with him on the Arrow, his first appearance on Arrow. You know, that was what helped them decide to, A, can't cast Grant Gustin, and as you know, that they could really make this kind of serious work. And I totally agree with you about the levity on the show. It is kind of a breath of fresh air having that, and we definitely try to have fun on Scarlet Velocity with that, especially with the villain thing. So not that we try to have a gimmick on all of our shows, but for whatever reason it kind of worked out on Scarlet Velocity that Josh will introduce himself, and then every time I introduce myself, I am introducing myself as the villain that week. And of course, because they have such strange names that, you know, like the actual comic book names, we, you know, I try to come up with something funny, you know, and we play around with that throughout the episode. So it's, it adds a little, you know, a little something else that, you know, we're having fun with, just as, you know, in talking about the show that, we can kind of tie off the show.
Well, and a great thing about having a show where we talk about The Flash and having a series of The Flash is that the character itself, even in the comics, has just this rich history of a variety of villains, really interesting creative villains, you know, and sometimes people you would never expect. I mean, like the Trickster, you know.
Yeah.
This Rogues Gallery. So they have so many different characters that are really Flash specific, whereas you got your, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and even Arrow, where they're pulling villains from other franchises and other characters in the universes, in the comic universes. Whereas Flash has these ready-made list of awesome villains. So
yeah, you got 10 easy to start. Like, you could probably just name 10 right off the bat, and I think they, you know, they probably did 8 of those. Or maybe they did all 10 of them, you know, last season. That they hit the top, at least top 5 villains.
Oh yeah,
through the season. And you know, there were the villains that Josh and I both had as our, you know, secret favorites. That, you know, as long as they deal with this person at some point during the season, we'll be happy. And they went above and beyond.
And perfectly cast with a lot of them. I really love the actor who's playing Captain Cold.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Wentworth Miller.
Yes, he's brought such a sinister charm to the character that it's just, oh, because normally, you know, I remember him on the old Super Friends cartoon, and he was always a little cheesy, so I was like, oh, man, I hope they can do Captain Cold where he comes across a little better, and they just cast him perfectly, because he's got that sinister cheese, but mixed with that, the perfect amount of dark and evil charm kind of thing that just, it just makes, you want to see more of him. I'm very excited to have him part of the Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, and bringing his Prison Break co-star back to be Heatwave was just, I mean, that was very inspired casting with Dominic Purcell there. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and introducing, I had never heard of the Golden Glider, even though they did some, I guess, some weird stuff with her powers, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be an improvement in some ways, because apparently what she did before was she was pretty much like a rollerblader, you know?
She was like DC's version of the Dazzler, I think.
So. Yeah. But the odd part with her golden gun, for lack of a better term there, Mr. James Bond fan, where does she get all this gold from? Or do you think it's supposed to be like a weird gold-colored adhesive that she's spraying out of that gun? Because that'd be a lot of gold to generate. And couldn't she just, instead of, you know, I don't know, Life of Crime, just spray that gun for a while and get you a good stack of gold and then live high on the hog?
Didn't we talk about this, Josh? The fact that if Sisko was able to create some sort of alchemy machine, like, why didn't he just keep it for himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of determined that it's not actually gold. It's just a gold-colored, you know, substance.
Yeah, an adhesive of some sort, apparently.
But, you know, she's so vain and loves the attention so much, I think, that she just really latched on to it. And I think even if it was real gold, I think she would still go out with her brother and you know, live that life of crime because of the excitement and the action. That just seems like the kind of person she is.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe she'll be popping up in Legends of Tomorrow then as well. Who knows? Because she was rather a fun character. So
yeah, well, I am looking forward to some that they didn't get to, like Mirror Master, but I definitely want to see some of the return ones, and I am anxious to see if they bring Grodd back this season.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he'll be back.
The Gorilla Grodd episodes were very well pulled off. Those were the ones I was probably the most worried about, and also that I was the most pleased about. So, it was really fun to see how they did that. And, you know, actually we, over the summer, we were able to talk to, the voice actor that, was able to, you know, do the voice of Grodd.
David Vobolos.
Yeah, David Soboloff.
Soboloff. Yeah. I keep wanting to call him Vobolos because that's his Twitter handle, which I had a bit of a hand in getting you connected with him.
Yes,
I'll
you
take
did. So that's why I wanted to mention that. So I wanted to thank you for hooking us up with him. And he was a great guy to talk to. And I'm really hoping that they bring him back again this year because that was just fantastic.
Yeah, they took something that could have been incredibly silly with a talking telepathic gorilla and made it incredibly frightening.
It did, and it came across that way. And that was we were concerned that it might be a little cartoony, but I also know that when we saw the pilot and they had Grodd's cage there, I had a chill go down my back because I'm like, if they can pull that off properly, they know how to handle the show, and
right.
It's totally Berlanti is. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he can go do anything he wants now, it seems like.
And he is.
I just hope he doesn't overdo it and overstretch himself to where he just can't keep everything at the level of quality we've come to expect from him.
Yeah, agreed.
Because there was a lot of people worried that when The Flash started and The Flash was doing so well, that maybe he was focusing his attention on The Flash and then kind of left the Arrow to kind of do its own thing, and it kind of wobbled a little bit during season 3.
Well, he's only, an associate producer. He's not the main executive producer. Guggenheim seems to be the one that leads Arrow for the most part. Berlanti's leading The Flash, but he's also going to be leading Supergirl. But, you know, he's got a team with him and a team of talented writers, I know, on all those shows that, kind of share duties across, you know, the different networks and stuff like that. So, you know, I think we're in good hands. We'll see how the next seasons go here with the addition of the extra shows and stuff like that. But I think all three shows, Supergirl included, there are going to be pretty strong this season.
I should think so because they've got a good thing going. And I think they've attracted a lot of attention, a lot of people paying attention, and I think that's caused for more outcry than I've heard in a long time of DC following in Marvel's footsteps and finding a way to have their movies connected a bit more with television. Because, I mean, there was a huge outcry with Smallville ending that they go ahead and let Tom Welling come and play Superman in some movies, which, of course, didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so now we've got this second round where the television is so strong and that I got to say the DC movies, well, other than those, well, the first two of the newer Christopher Nolan Batmans were excellent, you know, but and then these other DC movies have been kind of meh.
Yeah,
you know, the Dark Knight Rises was well, it was okay, it was good, and then Man of Steel, I wanted to like it. There was a lot of to like about it, but it just didn't feel like Superman.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, well, but we'll see. Now they're bringing Flash into the movies, and we'll see how that works. I'm wary but hopeful. That a lot of these will work out well. But for now, I've got the TV series Flash, and I'm still super excited and having a great time with that. So,
oh, yes. And a lot of potential things can happen this season because we did get teased for Killer Frost. I think we've been half expecting Vibe after some of the things that happened to Cisco, and he's able to remember stuff that happened through alternate timelines and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's teasing that that's coming.
and they've already went ahead and dropped the ball and say, oh yeah, by the way, Jay Garrick, and I hear there's a photo been leaked of the actor in his Flash costume who's playing Jay Garrick.
He actually posted it to his Instagram or Twitter yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah, well, and there's even a trailer with a very short scene with him in it.
Fantastic.
So only just a few more days to wait for that one. So
yeah, totally, terribly excited that there's a superhero named Jay on TV right now. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm just kind of, you know, whatever.
So. But one thing I was really expecting with some potential changes on Arrow, where if Oliver Queen is happy, he doesn't really have much reason to come back and be the Arrow. So there's been a lot of prediction that something's going to happen to between him and Felicity, or something happened to Felicity that causes him to be unhappy. But what I wouldn't be surprised about is from the end of Flash, with Eddie Thawne killing himself and basically screwing up the entire timeline, because you have Eobard Thawne from the future now doesn't even exist, so he doesn't come back and cause Barry to become the Flash. So what my thought would be is this weird vortex was time changing, but because Barry was trying to stop it and ran up into it, and he's going into an Earth 2, I'm thinking the entire world could be changing that he's used to, and by the time he comes back to his normal world, he's still going to have the Flash powers, because he didn't go properly through the vortex with everybody else, so he can still, you know, touch the Speed Force. But those changes could maybe go and affect Arrow, and maybe that affects the Oliver-Felicity relationship and, you know, alters the timeline over there. That's kind of my guess.
I think it was on our Green Justice Arrow podcast that I had this really convoluted theory about that last season, because I was trying to apologize for what Oliver was doing on that show and how we could possibly get him out of the stupid mess that the writers put him into. And so I had a whole Back to the Future alternate timeline, and I posted a picture on our Facebook page, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen now. The kind of the realization I came to with that when we were discussing it was that to be able – for people that don't watch Flash and just watch Arrow, if there are such people out there, to have something on another TV show affect your TV show at such a fundamental level would be
– Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did that.
Almost
had a movie completely alter the entire series.
With which part?
It's possible. Or with Captain America, Winter Soldier, the events of that completely altered Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, and people were able to go with it and thought it was cool. So,
right, but they did the setup for that on, I know, but yeah, they had the setup on the show. I mean, they had elements of it there. I realize that you come back the next week and it's like, if you didn't see the movie, it's like, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, like what happened?
Yeah, so I like you said, Jay. I don't think they'll do that just because it is a separate show. I still am of the mind, and I know I don't have to wait too much longer to find this out, but I think that they're going to. It's going to be something that the team convinces him to come back that only he can help them with. You know, it's something dangerous or something has happened to Thea or one of the others. But I think it's going to be more along the lines of that. I still don't know what. I don't know what would be serious enough to get him to come back. But we will find out, and then we will decide how well they pulled it off.
Yeah, the teasers seem to be indicating that they can't find a way to convince him to come back. So I don't know if there's going to be any ramifications from maybe an altered time at all, but I think there might be something. But yeah, I would really like to see how it is they convince him to come back, because his motivation for becoming Arrow was at first was just simply trying to clean up his father's mess, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, trying to keep some sort of a motivation through each season, because, like, this third season was really about questioning who he really is, and it seemed he decided, well, I'm Oliver Queen, and I'm this person, and I don't want this life anymore over here as the Arrow. I don't know how you spend an entire season building him to this certain conclusion to suddenly having him change his mind and finding a new motivation. I'm not sure how you do that, but I'm sure they found something cool that we're going to go out of our minds.
I think they thought of something good. And I think it will tie back to his, one, two, three, fourth.
Mission statement?
tie back to his mission statement. No, his fourth year around The island.
Not on the island.
the not island that he was supposed to have been stranded on.
Okay, how about in or around the, 5 years of hell that he had to experience. So there. I think it'll somehow be connected to that. But
Amanda Waller will be back.
I think, even with the, I'm not going to say missteps, even with the directions that maybe we didn't expect season three to go, I did really enjoy the overall season, and I like a lot of the stuff that came out of it, including Ray Palmer and the way that they ended up taking Thea and turning her into Speedy, and the way that Laurel became Black Canary. I really actually thought I didn't know how they were going to accomplish those things, and the subtle storylines that eventually all came together in the end. I was really pleased with parts of that. Did it go maybe the exciting way that I expected when the season first started? No, but I did like how they got to some of those things. So wasn't my favorite season, but I definitely enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, it felt like some of the story they could have done a little faster, but they were trying to time it out just right with the Flash to have the Barry show up in those last few episodes to free them all and stuff like that. So I think it was a timing issue to keep them running together that they kind of stretched things out a little too far, because it was great at the first, and then after that winter break is when it started to just slow down for me.
Yeah, as we discussed, it seems like they had a storyline for their flashback that they needed to stretch to fill 22 episodes instead of resolving it sooner. And then by the time everybody kind of realized what was going on for the main storyline, it's like, oh, we still have got another 7 episodes. And we just, on one of our summer specials, we just went through all the different episodes. And it's like, this was a really good episode. It was a standalone episode, and it kind of stepped away from the main plot of Oliver. Is he going to be a bad guy, or is he not going to be a bad guy? And they just kind of prolonged the stuff and tried to stretch the believability make the audience really think that Oliver was going to be a bad guy, when we all know full well that that's not going to happen. And so it almost bordered on ridiculousness by the time they got down to the last 3 or 4 episodes, I think.
I was really kind of wondering if they would take it the direction where it's like, okay, well, if I am now the head of the League of Assassins and they do everything I say, can't I say, all right, no more killing, but you will now, we are going to be this team and we can go save these cities, but we don't have to kill anybody to do it. I know because I've been doing it for the past year, I would have loved that for a different twist of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what they did do it, where it was the big ruse and everything. But I had that question in the back of my head. If you're in charge, can't you say the killing stops now?
But then they're not the League of Assassin anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
They got to change their name.
The League of Assassins. URL.
Lawyers get involved. Red tape.
URL. I think the League of Assassins itself is much bigger than one man or one leader. I don't think he could have made that big of change without some serious repercussions of somebody saying, I don't like this. I think maybe we'll try to take it from him and make it what it's supposed to be. But we kind of speculated whether he could do that or not. But in the end, it all worked out and he got a little vacation. So.
Yeah. What did y'all think of the actor who played Ra's al Ghul? Or do you prefer Ra's al Ghul? Were you guys happy with his performance?
At first, I was a little skeptical. In the end, I thought it worked. But
I liked his monologue scenes and everything. But I don't know. This seems weird to say, because one of the things that I always joke about for the show, because since it's on the CW, it's like everyone, they could have Doc Brown show up on the show and he'd be played by a 28-year-old hot chiseled man. So to have Matt Nable on there, who is, I think he's mid-40s or something like that. I mean, he looked really good for his age, but, and I know he's supposed to be kind of immortal. I don't know. It's, there were some things about it that worked and some other things that I felt that didn't work. I thought he's a really good actor, but in the vein that they were going to with the League of Assassins, they got into a little more melodrama, you know, kind of Shakespearean stuff there, which I think worked well for him, but that's not kind of the stuff that's how Stephen Amell is seen in the show. So it was just a different tone that they were setting with it. But I mean, he did a good job for what he was brought on for, I thought.
Yeah, I'd say he's definitely a good actor, but I don't know if he was necessarily right for the role, except for maybe the way they were presenting him. Because I really enjoyed Liam Neeson's performance of Ra's al Ghul. Mm-hmm. And because to me, the best Ra's al Ghul I've seen was actually the old Batman animated series, because that's when I was first introduced to him. And just having and I can't think of his name. He was in Tron.
Jeff Bridges.
Oh, went right out my head. It wasn't Jeff Bridges. It was, you know, he was Sark.
Oh, David Warner. You know?
David Warner. Having David Warner in there voicing Ra's al Ghul and the way he did it, because he has just enough of that very distinguished kind of British accent that it has that highly intelligent sound. And I think that's part of what I thought was missing from the portrayal of Ra's al Ghul is you could tell he was supposed to be this kind of wizened guy, but it didn't sound and he didn't carry himself the way I expected him to.
Yeah. For
he
me,
didn't seem wise.
The character, I mean, because I was introduced to the character in Batman comics back when Neil Adams was drawing him and in like Batman Son of the Demon, the graphic novel. So I kind of felt he should have been more Arabic because that's kind of what he's designed as. And, you know, Liam Neeson, I thought he did a great job for that. But, you know, it's kind of getting into that discussion of like whitewashing of people of color and stuff like that in movies. And it's great. But, you know, that's not really the background for Ra's al Ghul. So, you know, again, you, it's a balancing act, right? It's like, you know, what can you get? What do you want to do with the character? So we'll see.
Yep. And part of me still expects him to not be dead, though. Because it's Ra's al Ghul. He can't die, right? So I still have somewhere in the back of my head that he's going to be back, even if he's not a major player in any of the current storylines.
You know, I don't know. Pretty much everybody that's died on Arrow has stayed dead, right, Josh?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Everybody, because you know, there's not going to be a Lazarus Pit in Arrow. Remember?
Deadshot kills me every time.
One mistake at the beginning of the series. You know, that's
okay. I know. Beginning of the series, I'm like, oh well, they killed him off pretty quick. Yeah, right. Thanks, guys.
Oh my goodness. Well, we pretty much, I guess, got to wrap it up. I'd kind of like to hear if you have any predictions for Flash and Arrow, of something you're expecting to see that you're excited about. But we're running kind of short on time.
Well, I'll do a quick Flash prediction, or not. Well, I don't know. I'm excited to see where they go with it. I am actually very excited to see how they use Jay Garrick. That version of the Flash has always been fun for me. I also am very interested to see how they bring back Tom Cavanaugh and how they're going to be using Professor Zoom. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to work it, but every time I wonder about things like that, those writers pull something out that makes me excited and usually scream out loud. So
yeah,
I'm very excited about that.
I'm hopeful with an altered timeline that Tom Cavanaugh can come back and actually really be Professor Wells. Mm-hmm. Because nobody went back and killed him.
Right.
Exactly. So he could still be the character.
But that relationship will be totally different. So we'll see.
Oh, yes. Because Barry will have his own timeline that, like, with my kind of thought with the vortex, if he went through it, maybe he's not altered like everybody else is. Mm-hmm. But he would come back, and there's the real Professor Wells. But the way he's going to remember it is going to be different. So there's going to be a bit of tension, you know, even though that's the real thing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to on Flash.
Especially if you consider the possibility with a Killer Frost, the interesting thing from that is you could have, and I forgot the character's name altogether.
Caitlin.
Yeah. Yes, because him and Caitlin were, you know, kind of close, kind of good friends. But if he comes back and it's a completely changed world where they don't even know him, then that really makes it interesting. Plus, it does kind of feed into the possibility
to where we could see her grow and become the Killer Frost. Mm-hmm. That the tragic part is that Barry remembers the way she was in his timeline, but she's kind of maybe a different person. You know, this possibility type of thing. But anyways, Jay, you were going
to
say?
I was going to say, on Arrow, I'm looking forward to what they do with the flashbacks this year. They, as I had said before, they kind of faltered, I think, on the flashbacks last year because they didn't quite have enough to fill it out. And we kind of know where the flashbacks have to end up next season, presumably end up. I mean, the fact that he gets off the island if we're kind of doing it as a year by year. So this year is kind of unknown, and it looks like they're introducing a new love interest to him in the flashbacks. We've got a bunch of new characters that are coming on to show, including Mr. Terrific, as well as other guest stars with you know, from The Flash and stuff like that. So I'm eager to see them lighten up a little bit as well as expand their mythos and get stuff ready for Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep, and maybe even a surprise appearance by Gorilla Grodd on Arrow. How cool would that be?
Oh, that would be great.
Ooh, that would be nice.
See how they find a way to deal with him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, but once again, so you guys can be found on Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and all of these are on Random Chatter?
RandomChatter.com, with the premieres of the new season. Each time there's a new season episode coming out in the next couple weeks here, they'll also be on ForceCast.net. So you can find us there, find us on iTunes, find us on Stitcher, find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. Just find us.
If you look, you'll find them.
Yes. I have checked. If you Google any of those show titles, you'll find our podcast, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, Green Justice, or Scarlet Velocity.
And, of course, look for links in your show notes for Neverland Podcast. And, of course, Jedi Schwa, or Joshua, whichever you want to call him, can also be heard on Techno Retro Dads. You've heard their promo several times on this show already, and if you haven't started listening to them, I don't know why you're not. So it's him and Shaz Bazaar, and they're having a grand old time talking about things that they enjoyed when they were young and sharing it with their children. It's a great show. It does remind me of kind of what I'm doing, but I'm doing a more of a Disney version of the same thing.
We're having a good time, and it's now October, so we're going to be sneaking up here on Halloween. And, of course,
yes.
Back to the Future is very important this month, so we may be talking about that as well.
Great Scott!
Yeah, Great Scott is what you might hear me exclaim when you hear what's going on with the Techno Retro Fantasy Football League. It's my first time trying to do fantasy football, and I'm 0-3.
Oh, no.
Well, the whole idea is
I'm
to
getting
have fun.
Killed.
And you've already got a better record than I did last year. I don't know how that works, but I think I lost more than three games in the first 3 weeks. So it's, you know.
And it didn't help that Drew Brees didn't play this week, because that really hurt.
Yeah, you got to check that. So,
yeah, the thing is, I think that's the only quarterback I grabbed. I got Carson Palmer in that weird position of it's like a WR whatever. So I guess he's just automatic points for whatever he does. But yeah, I need a backup quarterback, and I didn't draft one, so I'm not very good at this. But anyway, so then Jay has another show that he does. It's for all you Star Wars fans.
It's called Jedi Journals. It covers Star Wars literature, everything you need to know about books, comics, and magazines monthly on ForceCast.net. And my co-host Chris and I, we break down everything that's going on. I'll tell you about all the books that are coming out in advance of The Force Awakens, and occasionally have interviews with different authors, artists, and other literature-related folks.
And I have to tell you, I have never met anybody in the entire universe that knows more about Star Wars literature than Jay does. So I highly recommend listening to that show.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. I'm sure you had a great episode when they decided that nothing in those books was canon anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had several different conversations about stuff along those lines, and it's all fun because, you know, if you've got books on your shelf and they're stories that you like to read, you can read whatever you want to read and believe whatever you want to believe, and that's totally cool. And if you like the new stuff that's coming out, that's great as well.
Yep. Oh, and you must have been excited about the announcement I just picked up today that December 18th, they are going to have a lot of different Star Wars Force Awakens tie-in books.
Yeah, they've got a bunch that they just released at the beginning of September called Journey to the Force Awakens that are teasing elements about it, but are telling stories you know, shortly after Return of the Jedi. And then, yeah, basically as soon as the day the movie hits, you get, I don't know, I think there's a couple dozen different books, you know, for little kids as well as for adults.
Yeah. Sticker books and The Art of Star Wars.
Yeah, Art of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Those are the kind of books that I look forward to, and the making of which won't be due out until, I think, March.
Well, thanks, guys, for coming on today. This was fun.
Well, thanks for inviting us.
Yes, thank you very much. And, you know, I really encourage everybody to watch these all three of these TV series, because they're a lot of fun, and Jay and I have a great time talking about them and comparing them to different characters and Easter eggs that they put in that are in the comic books as well. So that's always fun to find those.
Yeah, and especially if you're like a Marvel Disney type guy like me, it's always fun to be able to go through and experience these characters and then get excited about a character and then jump on Google and say, oh, I want to know more about this person, and the fun of discovery. And that's really how I've been through the season, because like I said, I'm not a DC guy. I just like some of the characters. But I've learned so much about different villains, and you know, I hadn't even heard of Killer Frost until, you know, with Caitlin there. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun to go and learn more and get excited about the comics. And then, oh, by the way, actually read some of the comics, because you'll probably like those too.
For sure.
Yeah, that's one of my philosophies. If you're enjoying the movies that Marvel makes, or the movies or TV shows that DC makes, go read some of the comics, because reading is fundamental.
The more you know.
The more you know. Do, do, do. And then when you start reading, you can start reading more Star Wars books and listen to Jay's show. See?
See, it all works. It all ties together.
It's all connected.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap things up for us. I do remind you to go to btmpodcast.com for Behind the Magic. See how we do with the creativity round of their Disney Podcasters Tournament. Also, don't forget to check out Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Techno Retro Dads, and, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Case File. I'm going to put all these links into the show notes. Also, you're going to find all of these other podcasts are going to become friends of the show, and they'll have a nice little icon there at neverlandpodcast.com, which, by the way, make sure you visit. Find out how you can become an official Lost Boy or Pixie by joining the Neverlanders. Why do we have Pixies and not Lost Girls? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. Also come, of course, back next week. We're going to have lots more fun. And, you know, we're coming up on the magic day for Back to the Future Part 2. So, yeah, definitely stick around. I'm going to figure out what I want to do for that. I have not decided yet. There's just so much to do. But make sure you come back next week. And remember to keep that pixie in your pocket. Of course, I mean, that's that young at heart and very good attitude. And make sure you share it with others by sometimes just a handshake, a hug, or a hey, good morning, how are you today? Until we see you next week, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. We love to hear from you on twitter.com/neverlandpcast and facebook.com/neverlandpodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492. And send email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Join us next week, and we once again go to Disney and beyond. The Neverland Podcast is copyright Blue Band Productions, and all original content belongs to the same. Other content is copyright of their respective creators and is used under Creative Commons license.
Good night, Neverland!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.